Hi, I'm Ava.
I'm Neve.
And I'm Brayden.
And this is Return to Camp Half-Blood,
the English class that you always wanted.
Where we analyze the Percy Jackson and Heroes of Olympus books through a new theme every week.
Welcome back to Return to Camp Half-Blood, Percy Jackson TV show, Disney Plus episodes 1 and 2. Spoiler review time.
Guys, yes. Fucking chat about it.
Let's talk. Let's let's serve the tea. Dish.
We were men on wires in that last episode.
Trying to hard.
Over the line. Because I of course wouldn't want to spoil this for anyone. It was like Brayden can attest. I was sitting in this exact spot on the floor, like a little ball of emotions upon watching these episodes for the first time, and all I could say was just like, this is really good. I was like just so overwhelmed by it, so we wouldn't want to take any of that from you.
No.
Yeah,
I think we managed it.
I think we did a good job of that.
Yeah, we're very cryptic, and that's the goal.
Exactly.
I want to talk about the end first, meaning
go for it.
I want to talk about those fucking end credit scenes.
They're so great.
They're so
great. One, like, why do we have end credit scenes? This is not a Marvel movie. Like, it's great. It's fantastic. They're not failing. So, like, do not turn off the episode. One, because there are great, there are end credit scenes. And then the credits at the end, besides the end credit scenes,
yeah,
are some of the most beautiful animation I've ever seen.
It's so pretty. And it's so, like, it's such a nice inclusion of, like, the traditions of, like, Greek art and how stories were portrayed in, like, actual ancient Greece of, like, these, like, you know, tableaus of, like, photos of showing how stories progress. And, like, that's basically what these end, like, these credit animations are, is that you see, like, through these, like, little moving pictures, like, how the story's gonna progress, which is so cool. It was very pretty.
And now that we've gotten that out of the way, do you want to just like talk through it like chronologically, like, or just like moment to moment? Like, so I guess Mrs. Dodds, the Furies.
Megan Holly, baby. She ate down. Oh my God. She didn't miss a beat. She was so good.
I do have to say though, that wig, mama.
I know.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Is that like,
and like
not the worst wig I've seen on TV?
No, there's
but
worse wiggery.
Certainly not the best.
It was rough. Oh,
yeah. Middle back of the pack for sure.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. I think that this first episode, and the book does too, but like this first episode does such a good job at really establishing Sally as like such an important figure in this story. We have like a little scene of them in this museum, like talking about his name.
Yes.
It's so sweet. Cause like, I mean, it's been a while since I read The Lightning Thief, but like I'm 95% sure that was not a part of it, but it was just like, it was very sweet. What Sally says about like deciding who the heroes and monsters are. That's why I was like, that's the moment I knew, like, this show's gonna fucking get it. Because
yeah,
it was, like, and, like, we, I feel like it's mostly about 3 and 4, so I won't talk about it too much. But, like, this show, I think in 1 and 2, we can also see the theme of the Lightning Thief was so much more, like, not anti the gods, but just, like, critical of the way that the gods had set up this structure.
Mm-hmm.
That, and the movie doesn't portray that at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really cool that within the first couple moments of the show, we like have such a central like heart of the show character of Sally expressing that and like setting that up for the rest of the episodes. So cool.
Yeah. And I think the politics of the book are not shied away from at all.
No,
frankly are leaned into more.
Yeah. And
though,
it's badass,
but like especially through Percy, which is Percy has a lot to say about like how the system is fucked up,
right?
And it's really like from the get-go, and it's really interesting.
It is.
like even into when we meet Luke, and you're starting to, you really set up Luke to see the like appeal of like his politics, like right from the get-go.
Yeah,
Percy doesn't shy away from like the angst he feels at all, and I really respect that also because like he is 12, you know.
Yeah,
he is also not Logan Lerman pretending to be young.
Yeah
Also, he's a little shit, and I love it because he was like we love Logan Lerman here, obviously, but like he was so clearly directed to be this like angsty different teen because they had aged the character up to 16, and now that he's back to being in middle school, he is just a little shit, and I love that.
Yeah,
it's so the energy we needed.
Yeah, and so just to go back to talk about Sally for a second, that is, she's exactly who I was like subtweeting last episode when I was like, the relationships are crafted so well. It's exactly that. It's like the subtleties in Percy and Sally's conversations. Like they had me wondering how, like I was sitting there and I was like, how does she do being a boy mom so well?
Oh, my future inspiration.
Boy mom.
Like she's, Sally, no, but like, I don't know. I like their conversations were structured so naturally to the point where I was like, I couldn't even think about writing this.
Yeah, it is.
Good.
I'm impressed not with how well it's adapted, because I knew it was going to be adapted well because it literally had to be. Like, they didn't have a choice for it to be adapted poorly.
Yeah. Also, Rick was so heavily involved in this one.
Exactly. What surprised me was the amount of nuance and how well-crafted the show is broadly. Yeah. Because, oh boy. Like, they added so much so subtly of, like, just the way that they craft the dialogue is different in a way that really highlights the story, not the plot, but the story of the Percy Jackson series, which is about looking around at the world and realizing something needs to change and trying to figure out how to do it. And it's about looking at systems of power and being like, I'm going to try to figure out how I can work within the system. I'm not sure if the system is right, but I care. I love my mom.
There is one scene. This is tough because I do want to talk about the Minotaur scene, and this is after that. But like it's what we're talking about right now. There is a scene in the woods of episode 2 where Percy is. It's after the like burning of the offerings, because Percy learns about like the burning of the offerings at dinner. So then there's a scene of him right after that in the woods, like burning the blue candy, being like, I don't know if I'm doing this right, but mom, oh my God, it was actually like such a beautiful scene. It was so sweet. It was such a great moment to watch like Percy's intentions for this, for not just the season, but also like you were saying, like the story like seeing, it was such a good catalyst scene of like exactly what you just said of like how, of the story of Percy Jackson and like what really makes him have that goal. And it was so sweet and it was so well filmed. Another cinematography moment that was really great.
I think this show is doing a fantastic job at highlighting that Percy could not care less about the gods.
Yeah.
He just happens to have a goal in line with getting this lightning bolt back, and it is to save his mother. It's like really the emotions of how much Percy cares about his mother is hammered home.
And off of that, it really shows Percy and Grover's friendship, because as we were talking about last episode, we get a lot of Grover in this moment. And like Grover can tell that that's what Percy cares about most, and that is just so sweet.
Yes. You know? I really love the moment of, well, okay, something, a negative idea I have to say, that is not the show's fault, which is kind of a byproduct of writing fantasy is sometimes you just gotta write lines that sound stupid to get the exposition to get the point over.
And often.
And I think of the scene in Montauk when she's like, so you're a god. We're thinking of
the same thing.
And he's like, I'm a god. And we're like, oh no, he's a god. But then also the moment, this was just like the only moment where it's like, wow, this is really off-putting writing all of a sudden randomly. When Mr. D and Chiron are telling Percy about the quest, and then Grover is like, but Sally Jackson's alive. One, why didn't he not just say your mom? Your mom's alive. Because this was addressed to Percy. Mr. D and Chiron already knew this.
Yeah.
It was just real disjointed, and it was only so striking because the rest of the show is so, the dialogue is so well crafted.
Yeah. And it was a good moment for Grover to show, like, I know my friend, and I know that he does not care about what you guys need, but I know he will care about his mom. Yeah. And, like, he will do this for you guys if it means that he can save his mom. So it was very good. Jumping back to the Minotaur scene, sorry.
So good.
I think a standout image from the first two episodes is him, is Percy, like, in the shadow, like, you know, the final, like, stab moment with the Minotaur in these woods. It was just, like, perfectly framed, and, like, everything up to then was, like, really, like, well filmed too, but I was like, and there was like so much active thought that went into making this look really great, and then not just like an action scene that we caught on camera.
Yeah, and the way that they really made it was like being like, he kind of did it on accident. Like he wasn't like a really good fighter all of a sudden. Exactly. He just like kind of stumbled into having it. Yeah,
and like that is how it's portrayed in the books as well. Like his inner monologue is like, fuck, this is working, but like it's working. So, yeah, that was a standout scene for sure.
Episode 2 opens with you, Drula, when you sleep.
Yes,
and it was perfect.
I loved how it was framed, like horror inspired. Like that made me laugh so hard.
It was like really scary.
Yeah. Like, okay. We had the off angle camera and like the low shot. It was so like horror inspired. I thought that was hilarious.
And then we finally see camp. And I think I went on when we talked about the trailers and the promo shots, I went on record and said, I don't like that it's in the woods. I take it back. It's not. I still wouldn't like it if it was all in the woods. But it's not.
No, I agree with you.
Once we saw that wide open field, I screamed a little. I went, oh, thank God. We just saw them like farming strawberries, and like we saw the whole like camp, and then the cabins that have these like woods things around like them.
Yeah.
Still think, I will say, it's a little confusing because there's like a thing about the woods in the books. It's like not the Forbidden Forest in Harry Potter, but it is like the woods are where the monsters are. They're not in the woods because the monsters are in the woods. And I think that's not important in the first book, but it does become important later.
Yeah.
And I think I don't like the lack of forethought there. But it's fine. There can be trees in different places.
Yeah.
True.
Different groups of trees. It's something they can work around.
Yes. Fine. It's like not even really a problem until like the Lost Hero and then like Trials of Apollo. Like it's down the line. Battle of the Labyrinth will too.
Yeah.
It's important in that one. It's okay though.
Isn't it? Oh well. if they make that enough seasons to get there, then like
period. Gotten that, yeah.
We're good.
The cabins are very well designed.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
They're very cool. They give just enough like recognizability of a summer camp with like little twists in them, you know?
Yeah. I agree.
The Percy is a loser montage is fantastic.
So good. I also really, really think it adds so much to what will happen later, that they're setting up such a clear older brother mentor role for Luke,
mm-hmm.
because like the actor just really does look so nice.
He
so
does.
He's not. And like having him, because like the Percy is a Loser montage in the book is so much more set up of like here's
who's
me.
His got
yeah and like yeah. who's like let me try all these things, and like no one was really like guiding him the way Luke is
yeah.
in this series, and I think it was a great addition to have Luke like truly like guiding him through this experience of trying to find what he's good at,
yeah,
because it will make the end so much worse.
I will say though, it does remind me how loose the plot twist it is in this book, in that like the prophecy he gets is like, you'll be betrayed most by the one who calls you friend, and like Luke is just in the beginning of the book and then not there, like
yeah.
it's like, yes, sure, they're friends, but like they didn't really have that much of a relationship, like
yeah.
even in this, which they I think they do a better job at setting up a relationship. Like, I guess everyone you meet and don't hate is like kind of your friend.
Especially here, like you all have this very strange, very specific thing in common.
Yeah. But I was like, okay, I don't know. This is like so intentionally misleading because it's really meant to like make you think it's Grover or Annabeth. And like, you're like, oh, I guess.
Yeah.
As a child though, floored.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh my God. The people watching this for the first time, you are not even fucking ready for what's about to happen. But yeah, I think that it was good to set up that relationship yeah. between them.
And I also, it was really nice when Percy, in that moment he's talking to his mom, is like, I think I made friends. And I was like, so
it was so sweet.
Yeah, something that I really loved about, I think a highlight for me of episode 2 came pretty much at the beginning when he got to camp, met Mr. D almost immediately. Percy and Mr. D's dynamic is more than I could have possibly dreamed.
It's so hyper confrontational.
So hyper confrontational. Starting with Peter Johnson is here and Kay. Like, I can't. Like, it was so good.
No, J.C. Mazzucas is eating it up.
Yeah.
Perfect casting. And we knew it would be great, but I don't think we were prepared for, like, just how incredible it, oh my God.
Yeah. Clarice and the bathroom scene.
Eating.
This is the change that I loved. That I talked about last episode. Restructuring the bathroom scene to happen outside of Capture the Flag, and it being like an Annabeth using that as leverage for how she uses Percy in the Capture the Flag, I think made her look smarter.
It did.
Because the way it's written in the book, not that it makes her look not smart, but is like, it doesn't show us that she's smart. It's just like, look, she had a plan. And like, right. Wasn't having a plan smart? Which is just like, yeah, sure. But this really felt like calculated.
Yeah.
In a way that it feels like in the books, but like is not like really hammered home how like kind of cutthroat she is.
Mm-hmm.
But in like a nice cutthroat way, like not in the way that she is combined with Clarice in, she's not a bully.
Yeah.
She is unafraid to use people as a pawn.
To get what she wants, yeah.
And I'm like, as she should.
I love her.
And then Capture the Flag was great.
That's yeah, awesome. Very cool. Very much like how I imagined it. The little scenes of Walker fucking around were funny.
Yeah. The lizard.
He's as Percy would, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And then him being claimed.
Yeah. That was a masterful shot. Truly beautiful.
It was cool. It was really cool to see that.
Because I don't know, like, you know, like my 9-year-old brain just pictured like something that seemed clip art-esque.
Yes.
Because, like, this was just so much cooler than that. I was like, this is not what I pictured in my brain, and this is better. This yeah. is actually a lot much better.
Yeah.
It's like, you picture what the trident looks like on, there's a cover, one of the original covers.
Yeah.
That, like, is just, and it's, like, cut off. Like, it's not the whole stick. It's just, it's really just the forks.
Right above your head.
Yeah.
And it's, like, blue, and you're like, oh, good.
Right. Yeah. Are there any final thoughts? Like, I feel like we've covered a lot of them.
I think so too.
I can't remember. I don't know if there's any moments we haven't talked about.
No. I think it's a great start.
It's a great start. It gets even better, frankly. Yes. I'm so excited to talk about episode 3.
Yeah.
Which will happen next week.
It's really, really cool.
So thank you for joining us on our little side quest here covering the TV show. See you back in our like
regular
main episode. Quest.
Yeah. We're just like them.
We're just like them for real.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's it. This is not a normal episode, so I don't know how to end it. But
I know.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.
That's all for this week. Join us next week. We'll be discussing the Trials of Apollo, I guess. Bye.
Captain Evers.
Follow us on social media.
Yeah.
At Return
to
Camp.
Every platform that matters.
Yeah. Oh my God. We have new stuff on Redbubble.
We do. It's sick.
We have new merch. I should have said that not at the end of the episode.
Our regular schedule.
I'll announce on the regular scheduled episode at the beginning. But if you are still here at the end of this episode, we do have a new release of merch on our Redbubble store. We have designs for Piper, for Nico, for Medea. I think that's and Apollo. As well as a new just Return to Camp logo t-shirt that I love. That is mine is coming in the mail currently. So
yeah. Slay.
Bye.
Bye.